Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Done a lot of Giants last hour, but we started the show talking about the Jets, how it just feels like that negative cloud that surrounds, it doesn't matter who the head coach is, who the young quarterback is with the New York Jets, you're having to overcome years of losing, the pressure of being in New York, and in Aaron Glenn's case, like many other before him, the idea of being a first-time head coach, and it just seems like after a great week one and an awful week two, a lot on the line. If things start to go sideways for the Jets here, you can see that negative cloud once again wreaking havoc on the Jets.
I think he needs to stabilize this thing a little bit here. You know, not go nuts, not saying that if they lose, the hot seat's on fire. I'm not saying that at all. Nobody's saying that. If you are, I mean, that's unfair. But, you know, to me, what I think was punctuating the early days of Aaron Glenn was that he was refreshingly in charge. And at some point, the results have to match that, though. And, the 34 points they gave up in week one, the 30 points they gave up in week two. So there's still a lot of yards. There's still a lot of points, still a lot of penalties, still some lack of discipline. You know, and we talked about this as well when he said repeatedly during the week, you know, I've got to watch the tape, got to watch the tape, got to watch the tape. You know, all the things that make the Jets job such a hard job, the history, the ownership, the tortured fan base, all that stuff, unfair or not, and it's probably more unfair than not, but it always kind of works its way back into the equation, and it's always heavier than it needs to be. It's always 9,000 more things than it needs to be rather than just dissecting what went wrong in the game. And that's not Aaron Glenn's fault, but I think he needs to do a better job of understanding. You can get some separation from the way you played, and you can be honest. I mean, I that doesn't work here. It doesn't work anywhere when you don't have the results. And he doesn't have the results. We're all pulling for him. He's a former Jet. I think he knows the score. I think he knows what's good, what the deal is here. But you can't be obtuse. I don't want to hear it's about the tape. It's really about how you play, and they got to play better.
His way of coaching, you need to either have the results prior to getting here and getting this job or the results while you have it. And he has neither so far. That's the risk of hiring a first-time head coach. I truly believe Aaron Glenn is the guy. But you already, it's not about just about Aaron Glenn, but you already start to see the people being annoyed with him in the media and then potentially going after Steve Wilks. The number one thing that I want to see in their game on Sunday in Tampa is the Jets start to form their identity. We know what it was supposed to be. We haven't seen it yet. Even in week one, like they ran the football very well, but Justin Fields was the star. He was making the big plays. He had a tremendous day that day. And again, it resulted in a loss, but they need to run the football. I don't care who the opponent is, who their quarterback is, what the situation is. Their identity should be running the football down the opponent's throat, at the very least, trying to do so. The Buffalo game completely got away from them. So that, to me, that should be where it starts, running the football behind that offensive line, which is their strength, and then playing a much better brand of defense that we've seen through the first 2 weeks. That's where this thing has to start, BT, and if they do that, then maybe they could start to win some games or at least play some more competitive football to where people can lay off of Wilks or question Glenn or be bothered by it. Those are the results that I'm going to be looking to see in week 3.
Fair enough, but you still have to have some answers in the passing game. Everybody knows the Jets are going to try to run. I mean, we were saying this over the summer. I remember, you know, 32, 35. I'm saying this 35, 38 times. Like, anybody that knows what the Jets have, like their roster, knows that they're going to try to run the ball. So when you stack the box here, as the Buffalo Bills did and dared them to beat you downfield, you've got to have a little bit of an answer here. And they didn't there. So, you know, the Jets running attack should be good enough for the most part to carry the mail most games, but I don't know that it's going to be so good where they could just overrun the stacked box and just shove it down teams' throat. Well-coached, good team. So that's going to be a bit of an issue here. But I even look more to the defense. Like, I got to see something. I got to see some more resistance here. I got to see. They got to stop the run. Like, if Aaron Glenn had an offensive background, I even though they were awful in week two, I'd almost feel better about this. I'd say, all right, two games. One, they moved the ball with great ease. The other, they didn't. But both games, their defense has been porous. Both games, their defense has been sloppy, whether it's tackling, whether it's whatever you attribute to being buttoned-up defense. So it is early, but it's never too early to start making a little bit of a mark, whether it's what you say at the podium, whether it's what your team looks like, or specifically to the Jets. How about both? How about you say the right thing, and how about your defense comes in and backs it up?
Right, and I guess the bigger point is the way that Aaron Glenn's demeanor and coaching style and the way he handles the media, I personally love it. I grew up on Parcells and Belichick. Like, love that. The difference is he does not have the resume. And if you continue to lose, that type of tough talk wears very thin. He's already seen. This isn't Detroit. And he knows that, which is part of the appeal, that he's familiar with the New York market. But he also should then understand that without those wins, that tough talk has gotten guys in trouble before. We saw it with Eric Mangini. We've seen it with first-time head coaches here. That's why this is a very, very difficult thing. The New York media, the history of the Jets, being inexperienced as a head coach. Like, there's a lot of reasons why fans and media would doubt somebody that doesn't have that known, you know, resume or that is a known commodity as a head coach.
Well, listen, I said at the start of the show, the two things that any coach in our city's got to have, aside from, you know, a roster and a good relationship with the GM and all the other knowledge and all the other stuff, you've got to be authentic and you've got to be transparent. But I think it's tough to be transparent when you don't have results. I think the easier thing to do is to be authentic. Now, the good first, I think that that's easier, and then hopefully transparency comes when you start getting some results there. I actually think that this is Aaron Glenn, which should bode well for them. Like, the Mangini stuff was an act. I think I told you, like, so I used to interview Eric years ago at the old station, and I would talk to him for like 7 or 8 minutes, just kind of shoot the breeze, and then I said, all right, coach, you ready to roll here? It was like the once a week coach's spot on the old station. And then as soon as I'd say, all right, coming down 3, 2, 1, joined now by Eric Mangini, blah, 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 he would turn into a robot. It would totally change his personality. And I remember telling him one time before, I forget what week it was, but when it was going a little bit awry, I said, coach, I said, do what you want, because I had a pretty decent rapport with him at that point. I said, do what you want, but I said, I think you should be a little bit more you. Like, be a little, like this, the man, the Eric that I'm
How'd
talking
that go
to. Well, not great. It didn't go great, even, you know, he didn't change and it didn't stay. But I mean, really, my instincts were in the right place, right, and my heart was in the right place because I can hear it. I'm like, this isn't really him, and everybody's going to sniff it out. What Aaron Glenn is presenting, I believe, is him.
Right.
So I do believe it's authentic, and I do believe it's transferable. So I'm not worried about that. I don't think it's an act. I think Sala was an act. I think others have been acts. I think this is AG, which is good.
That's why I love him.
Me too.
He's comfortable in his own skin. He knows
bingo.
Who he is.
Yeah. No doubt. You just got to start playing a little bit better.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And we also obviously talked about the Giants big game Sunday night. For me, I can't comprehend how people all of a sudden have the Chiefs coming down to the level of the Giants, or the Giants coming up to the level to meet the Chiefs who have come down. That does not add up yet. I'm not seeing, now look, anything's possible. Obviously, any team could win a game. I'm not seeing any way, though, the Giants win this game after what they've done the first 2 weeks. They weren't very good against the Commanders, which was a game that most people thought was winnable. They were great offensively against the Cowboys, but still found a way to lose that game because the defense was nowhere near where it needed to be. Also, the offense couldn't do enough in overtime to even get in field goal range to kick a game-winning field goal. So another loss against a team that, like, the Commanders were a good playoff team a year ago, and they're probably a sound team. We'll see what happens with Jaden Daniels. I know he's banged up this week, but they're good. Okay, fair enough. Cowboys, who knows where they're at. I don't think either of those teams are on the Chiefs level, even with the Chiefs not being where they used to be and losing their first games to two very good teams, by the way, in the Chargers and the Eagles. So this is, to me, a very dangerous spot. I actually think we're going to learn a lot about Brian Daboll, Russell Wilson, and this Giants defense in week 3. If they show up and play a competitive game, win or lose, you'll know when you see it. Okay, well, the Giants at least maybe turned the corner to be a consistent competitive team. I'm afraid that it's going to go the other way on them, BT. But either way, they have to actually get the result. We're not looking for moral victories at this point in year four with Shane and Dable.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm going to say this here. I think that the Giants are... The Giants are moving more in the right direction. I know that that sounds nuts because they haven't won yet. Then the Chiefs are still what they were. So, all right, well, what does that mean? It means that not much, because the Giants, when you're not good and you're just slowly moving in the right direction, that shouldn't be so amazing where people are like, wow, oh, we're going to latch on to that. That's, let me bet the house on that. No, but it's also born out of the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs blow nobody out. They don't blow anybody out. They didn't blow anybody out last year. They're 0-2 this year. They played two very good teams. We understand that. One team won the Super Bowl last year. The other team very well might be in the Super Bowl this year in the Chargers with a hell of a coach and a hell of a quarterback. So, got to put that to the side here. But I do believe that the Chiefs are coming down fast. And if the Giants can't bottle this up with a good week of practice, and I know they lost, and I know that that was a gut shot the way they lost to Dallas, but if they can't have some good vibes watching film from an offensive perspective the other day as they prepare for this game, well, then I don't know when they're ever going to feel good about themselves. So you have a desperate crowd, you have a desperate coach, you have a desperate team, and quite frankly, Dexter Lawrence has to wake up. Like, we could sit here and talk about, you know, Russell Wilson and Malik Nabers, and when is Dar playing, and oh, Burns is doing this, and oh, Kayvon's been okay, and this guy. Hey, can Dexter Lawrence start playing the way he's supposed to play? Because the first two games, I haven't seen that guy show up yet on film. Now, I'm not watching film like Boldinger at all, not
no,
even
but
close.
He's told us two
but
weeks
he's the
row.
One who told us. Yeah. He told us the first week, and then he told us the second week. So, if the Giants' defense was supposed to be top five-ish, you know, ish, which is what I thought they could be, then he was supposed to be in the middle of this, and everything was supposed to funnel downhill because of him. He shows up. If he does, I think the Giants can steal this one.
And to me, that will be the biggest key for them if they're able to stop the run. Obviously, Dexter Lawrence primary there. Yeah, I just don't see that. I cannot wait to watch this game. I don't see any way, though, that the Giants walk away with a win. And if they don't, that would mean the season, essentially, as far as getting to the playoffs, is over, and then the Jackson Dart Watch officially comes into play here, which, as Justin Tuck just said to us, and I love his answer, and I said the same thing. I don't want the quarterback to be in a spot where he's going to be in a spot where he can't develop properly. That's my main priority. However, if the Giants can build this foundation here, Russell Wilson establishing themselves offensively, and Giants playing competent football, and you do that for consecutive weeks, even with the losses, then maybe you transition to Jackson Dart and you put him in a spot where he could succeed. That would be my primary goal, not worrying about the postseason, especially if they lose to go to 0-3.
Let me ask you this. So all the football things that we talk about here, you know, what the Giants could do, what they should do, who they're playing, who the Chiefs are, who they no longer are, what is your level of confidence? And it goes all week at the facility that Brian Dable has his team ready to win.
Ready to win?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer and Geo. Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Ready to win.
Ready to win.
They got to win.
But they don't know how to win. I don't think they're winning this game. I don't think it's a Dable thing in this particular case.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if this were a different game, if this were even the Niners maybe, or the Bears, like a medium opponent at home, I'd be like, all right, let's see what they're made of. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt based off of last week. Even the Cowboys coming in. Like, this is different. The Chiefs are a different animal. Their bad is still five notches above the Giants' good. until proven otherwise. So I don't, like, I really don't even know if there's much the Giants can do. Yeah, if they click on all cylinders, Abdul Carter, Kayvon Thibodeau, Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, all their defensive studs making big plays all over the field, getting to Mahomes, preventing him from running and making big plays with his legs, taking advantage of any mistake that the Chiefs make. Different story. Clicking again offensively against a better defense. Like, the Giants have not scored touchdowns in years. They score a multitude of touchdowns in one game by the deep ball, the majority of it, against a team who's crappy playing defense.
Yeah.
I just don't believe in that. So I don't know if it's about Dable not having the team ready. I wouldn't say that. I just don't think the Giants are good enough to beat the Chiefs.
So we might learn more about the Chiefs in this game than we do the Giants.
Potentially, yeah. Yeah, well, because if the Chiefs don't win this game, they're toast. I mean, you got to be able to beat
the Giants. Even if they win it, they don't play particularly well. Like, I mean, they don't score a lot, and that offense is pedestrian again. I mean, again, Mahomes is, I think he's run for 133. He's got the most rushing yards of any quarterback in the NFL.
I really think, yeah, you might be right. Like, my pick in this game, or my feel in this game, has less to do about the Giants and more to do about the Chiefs. And I feel like other people, even though they're on the other side of it, yourself included, has more to do about the Chiefs than it does about the Giants.
Yeah.
I'm factoring in everything, but I don't believe the Chiefs are... I think everybody's prematurely burying the Kansas City Chiefs.
But we both think it's going to be fairly low scoring.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs, even to your point, even when the Chiefs were at their peak, they never covered spreads.
Yeah.
Like, they're not a team that was blowing teams out. Anyway, I mean, maybe
years a couple ago, years ago
with Tyreek Hill, but you're going back several years ago.
Yeah, no, I know. It's been a minute since they've been that team. They have not been that team for a while.
Mets yesterday, BT, won a game. Hey, that was a huge game, and I thought it was very impressive for Tong. You know, I would not have started him at all. It's not that I didn't think he had it in him. It's that I wouldn't have been willing to take the chance to find out with 10 games to go, but that was the best that we've seen from Jonah Tong. Either way, they get that win, and now do create a little bit of breathing room. I'm still not 100% sold that they have enough to get over the finish line. Yesterday was really the first day where I felt that that was the case. You know, I've been honest with you and my feelings here about where I'm at with them. I wasn't really worried. Like, they got to sweep the Nationals here, and if they sweep the Nats with their pitching lined up the way it is and the Nats are as bad as they are, then they should be in a golden position to finish this thing off here. I'm not still 100% confident that the Mets have officially turned the corner and will, in fact, be a playoff team.
I could see that, but there's also some evidence now that the Mets are starting to get it together here. Pete's been on an absolute bender. He's been hitting, I mean, he's on a really good roll here. Obviously, Tong was terrific yesterday. You got the piggyback the other day with Holmes and Manaea here. So there's just a lot of things that are starting to, you know, line up now. We're like, okay. And obviously, you get a little break in the schedule. You got to cash in here with the Nationals with these three games. It's not going to be easy going to Chicago.
Yeah.
Playing the Cubbies. Never easy with the Marlins and all the ghosts of the past.
They've been bad on the road all year. Not to mention that those teams have, you know, the Cubs are good and the Marlins always pester the Mets.
That was a good win yesterday, though. That was a good series. And, you know, to me, and again, I don't want to put the cart before the horse here, but I look, you know, if and when. And I do think that they'll be a wild card team. I think they'll get it. You know, if they get there, you're talking about what? McLean. You might not even want to go here yet, but McLean, Peterson? McLean.
No.
What would you. McLean won.
I would go McLean one. Now, again, this is part of the problem. Like, you and I have debated about this, callers have debated about this. There are no good answers. The Mets' best answer is cross your fingers and hope that Tong goes out there and has a start that he did even after he couldn't get out of the first inning. And he did that. The Mets were hoping that Senga could go down to the minors and figure it out. He didn't. He got beat
he
up.
He did initially, so then he got whacked around.
I would officially eliminate him from the equation.
Yep.
They're hoping that David Peterson is going to figure it out. He's got an ERA of near 8 since August, and they're saying he's going to make his next start. Like, based on what would I trust David Peterson? He was an all-star in the first half. He's been god-awful in the second half. So that's part of the issue here. So I would say McLean for sure, and then the combo of Holmes and Manaea to me would be 2.
Sprout.
Let's see what Sprout does this weekend. He's been pretty good, but the velocity dip has to be concerning in his last outing. It was great, 6 scoreless innings. You take that every time, but like...
Drop down to 92.
And dude, like, he's a rookie. Like, who the hell knows?
I know.
It's not saying that they're not good enough. They've been great so far, but... You just don't know. They're one start away from near disaster.
Well, one thing that's happening here, and not that the Met fan should be wrapped up in this now, but it's actually really good for the future, too. I mean, so provided the Mets make the playoffs here, I mean, you got these kids who have just been thrown into the fire. And whether it's McLean, who looks like he's the real deal for minute one, and Sproat has been really good as well, and then even Tong, who was all over the map, and then, you know, emotionally a mess. And
but
then,
to come back from
well,
that,
that's what I'm saying. Like, to me, that's a big boy moment for him. So it's there's no perfect answers here, but there seems to be a few more answers than maybe there were a week or so ago, because I didn't think Mania even had what he had coming out of the pen the other day. I didn't. I'm going to take the L on that. Like, I did want to go with Tong. I did want to get him another start. I do like his stuff, and he pitched great, but I didn't know what Mania was going
to
do.
Yeah, but it just got to a point where it's like, okay, we want to send Senga down, fine. Okay, well, you can't have Mania start. Okay, fine. And then Tong goes out there, can't get through the first inning. I wouldn't, like, I'm saying, well, I can't have this guy, I can't trust this guy, I can't trust that guy.
But well, somebody's got to pitch.
Well, exactly right. Somebody's got to pitch. So in the case of yesterday, it was Tong had to pitch. He did the job and came out, you know, even better than he's looked at all.
Oh, by his best, by far.
That's
he got a little lucky in the first inning with Machado's trying to stretch a single into the double.
But still.
He threw the ball well.
That's how he looked on all the highlights watching in Double-A and Triple-A. We have not seen that, so we did see that yesterday. Okay, so that's very encouraging that he could certainly come back and bounce back immediately. But rolling the dice, same thing with Peterson. Like, you're rolling the dice again with Peterson next time. Even the piggyback situation, you just don't know. Yeah, when they pitch well, everything looks great, but can you count on that? Outside of McLean, nobody has been consistent. Sproat's been consistent. It's been two starts. You just don't know what's going to happen with them. So I can make an argument that if they get there, I feel like they'd be in better shape because everything gets shortened. We've talked.
I think
about
they're dangerous if they get there. Yeah, now, we could probably talk about a lot of teams and say, well, they're dangerous if this happens, but if the Mets get there, and I believe that they will, but I believe it'll be the last wild card. Mets get there. Mets could be dangerous. Why could they not be?
Let's get to. Well, I mean, the offense as well, even the bullpen. Hey, dude?
Well, I remember at the lowest of their lows. Yeah, I remember saying, "Hey, listen, and I use McLean as an example. All it takes is McLean to go out there and put up, you know, 5 or 6 zeros, Soto to hit a 3-run bomb in the first inning or in the whatever inning, and the Mets win the first game." It's like, okay, here you go. Yeah. Like, and this is what we've talked about all year, like the uncertainty and the randomness of baseball. Now, you certainly need some checkpoints to give you confidence to think that you could do something over the course of the season. Do the Mets have some hitters that are red hot? Yep. Do the Mets have a couple of flamethrowers atop the rotation? Yep. Do the Mets have enough bullpen arms, if they're right, to piece it together? Yes, they do.
Yeah, but they've had that. And also have lost.
I know.
Like, I wouldn't be shocked. You could tell me, would you be shocked if they missed the postseason? I'd say no. You could tell me, would you be shocked if they got to or won a World Series? I'd say no.
Like, I'd be surprised at this point if they don't get in. I'm going to stop short of saying shocked because of the volatility to their season. Surprised? I'd be surprised.
Fair enough, but it's still a possibility. Like, the extremes are ridiculous. All right, let's get back to the calls here. 888-808-1019. Joe in the Bronx wants to talk about that Justin Tuck interview. What's up, Joe?
Hey, boys. Happy Friday.
Hey, Joe.
You too.
So it was refreshing to hear a player say that, a former Giants player say that there were no rush to see Dart play. Because honestly, until they get their offensive line straightened out and their defense on the same page, I don't want to see Dart. I'm ready. I don't know if I'd wait the whole season, but you know, week 8 or 9, maybe, I don't know. Find a comfortable spot, but don't rush to put him in, even though we're probably going to lose to Kansas City.
Well, we've talked about that, Joe. I mean, you know, every show's different, every personality is different, but I think that's pretty much been the theme on this show. We were never looking to wedge him in there irresponsibly or too early. You know, I thought that, I didn't think we'd ever see a game like we saw from Russell Wilson in week 2, but I thought he'd be, you know, effective enough where you guys wouldn't be screaming for him to get benched. You know, I thought he'd be better than what the Giants trotted out last year. He happened to be great in week 2. If you get 70% of that for the next 5, 6, 7 weeks, you can ease Dart along without the pressure of either the head coach trying to save his job or the fans just screaming like lunatics.
Yeah, to me, I was always looking at the bye week, and that's like week 14. So I was pushing this way down the road. They had a plan in place. Russell Wilson was the plan. I never thought it was going to be a successful plan as far as getting to the postseason, but let him go quarterback, be a competent team, win some games, lose some games, whatever, play NFL football for the majority of the year while having Dart watch and learn and develop and then transition to him. And then, and I don't think it's about Russell Wilson's poor week 1 performance. I just think it was about Dart's preseason really took this thing to another level, where Dart was so good and exciting in the preseason. Then people wanted to see more of him. Baldinger comes on with us after week 1 and was saying, "I do it now. Why wait?"
Yeah.
And I was like, holy crap. And actually, even before week 1, he was talking about maybe against New Orleans week 5. And I was like, whoa, that
was
soon?
Early. Well, don't you think, I know it sped up my timeline in my own mind when they elevated him to QB2.
Yes, that's another thing.
That's
exactly right.
That's where even if we were predisposed to say, all right, this is going to be very, we would think the Giants will take the prudent route here and not wait wedge him in. We're sitting here saying you got Russ, you got Jameis, you got him as the third quarterback. Once it was quarterback two, I'm like, all right, so they're obviously comfortable enough. If the starter goes down, he's thrust in there. So to me, that kind of sped things up almost unnecessarily, but that was there. Nobody forced him to do that.
Excellent point. I was shocked at that as well. On the line right now, we can see him being Zoom. I love this. The Zoom setup here with Nick Costos. He is the host of You Better, You Bet, and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better, You Bet weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern and You Better, You Bet countdown to kickoff Sundays 11 to 1 p.m. Eastern, leading you up to kickoff on the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. Sunday morning show as well, 8 to 9 a.m. right here on The Fan. What's up, Nick? I like the background there. You see this, BT? We're finally seeing
it. Good setup.
I see a little Ultimate Warrior Hasbro figure. You got your Giants. What is that, Danbury Mint offensive line Giants back there?
That is, that's the 86 Giants linebackers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
All of them signed it, except for I've never met Gary Reasons. He's the only one that hasn't signed it. But yeah, it's a good backdrop. And just to pull the curtain back on what's happening in my life at this moment right now, you know, I haven't eaten lunch yet, and I'm pretty hungry. And I've just been sitting here thinking about how delicious a bone-in ribeye would be. And how excited I am to have one in a couple months on Brandon Tierney's dime.
What happened? Yet another
Jets loss this past weekend, now sitting at 0-2.
Go ahead, BT. Get out of for that.
We get mushrooms as a side. What are we doing? Asparagus? What's the side here?
Yeah. We got to go mac and cheese. Absolutely. Some kind of starch.
Hey,
meat, a potato,
yet,
and green.
Hey, Nick, don't count it yet, buddy.
Oh, we're on Sesame Street, buddy. I'm counting, baby. We're counting.
All right, so let's just start there then. What are we looking at here? Tyrod, where's the drop-off, at least from the bettor's perspective, or in your mind, the Jets' chances to win this game without Justin Fields when they go with Tyrod Taylor?
I think they have more of a chance to win with Tyrod. I said it to you guys when I came on before week one. When everyone freaked out when Fields got hurt in training camp, I thought it was hysterical. Just, oh my God, like he's Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. How'd it go last week for Justin Fields? Now, Fields has a higher one-game ceiling and upside than Tyrod Taylor, certainly, but I think Tyrod is a way steadier option. And there was a betting move, guys, on this game, and it's been towards the Jets, but I don't know if that has anything to do with the Jets quarterback situation. I think this is entirely injury-driven as far as it concerns Tampa. The Bucs are going to be down three of their five starting offensive linemen in this game, including both their starting tackles. Emeka Egbuka, their star rookie receiver, is one of the favorites for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Three touchdowns through the first 2 weeks. He is back at practice today. He missed Wednesday and Thursday. That came down like in the last like 20 minutes. So Egbuka does look like he's on track to play here. But this is a Bucs front, offensive front, that the Jets should be able to have some success with and getting at Baker Mayfield. So I think that's why we've seen the move down from Bucs minus 7 to Bucs minus 6.5. At 7, I could certainly advocate a play for the Jets. The Jets, to me, feel like the team, and we saw it last week against Buffalo, that gets bet on hard by professionals and sharps, and sometimes the public wins. At this current price, I don't want anything to do with the Jets. I could certainly understand at 7 the interest in betting gangrene. At the current number, I don't have a lot of interest.
Well, Nick, betting aside, I mean, let's face it here. The gifts that the Jets are getting here, it's you know, it's when you play who you play. And the Jets are playing the Bucs at a good time here. Forget about the quarterback stuff, the Taylor, the field stuff. I mean, the Jets defense got to start showing up here. I mean,
Absolutely. The
Jets defense needs to show me and everybody else and, you know, that they hired the right DC, that Glenn's going to have some influence on this defense. Go out there and put up a few points. Don't let them score.
Yeah, and I think there were some interesting quotes from Quinnen Williams this week, who said that after Sunday's loss against Buffalo, all the defensive players to a man looked at each other and made a promise to each other that we're not going to let this happen again. And you love to hear that, right, before the game starts. Now they need to go out there and they actually need to do it, because BT, to your point, you know, like, Glenn has been getting crushed by everybody after this performance. And it's not just that the defense has stunk, which it has. I hated the optics of the Xavier Gibson thing, like, release, and then the statement that he made, like, oh, if you're gonna cost the team a victory, you're not gonna be on the team. Great, you have to cut the entire roster after what happened last week against Buffalo. So yeah, it's a little inconsistent there for me. And if the defense were good, you could forgive it, but the defense has not been good, and that's his calling card. Now, Buffalo's one of the best teams in the league. I think you can chalk up, like, maybe you're just walking into a buzzsaw on the Jets. Maybe, like, we're over their skis in week one against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But it is a massive game on Sunday. Whether or not they win, and obviously Jets fans want them to win, you have to have a better showing. Mm-hmm. The defense has to compete. There's absolutely no question about it. I'm skeptical that that happens. Again, just betting-wise here, at a full +7, I'm interested in the Jets. Otherwise, probably pass the game.
Where are you at on the Bucs? Baldy said he thinks the Bucs are very, very good. I mean, yeah, they've won their first two games. It took a missed field goal to beat Atlanta. It took a miracle comeback to beat the Texans. I could see them and say that I think they're okay, but I don't know if they're unbeatable or really a top team. Where are you at with the Bucs?
I like your Falcons to win the NFC South.
I mean, that's telling. That says it right there.
Even though the Bucs did beat them in Atlanta in week one. But, I mean, these Bucs injuries are pretty devastating here. Now, Wirfs is going to come back. Chris Godwin's going to come back. Jalen McMillan will be back at some point midseason, probably after the bye. So the reinforcements will be there. Like, also just for, like, the Jets stuff, Todd Bowles has all of a sudden become a pretty good game manager also, managing the ends of these first two games of the season. It's kind of happening defensively with, like, smoke and mirrors a little bit here. I do think the Bucs can certainly be a playoff team. They've been a playoff team. They won the division 4 straight years. I think, Sal, that their ultimate upside continues to be capped like it's been the last few years. Like, Baker Mayfield is a nice quarterback who can make some plays when it matters the most. I don't, at the end of the day, consider him to be on the tier of the elite quarterbacks in the league. Tampa, to me, tops out this year as, like, a 10-7 regular season team, maybe gets into the playoffs, loses in the first round. I actually think the Atlanta Falcons have a higher ceiling than them in the NFC.
Where do you put Baker? Tier 2?
So let's say tier one is your Mahomes, like Allen, Lamar Jackson. Like, would you put Burrow on that tier or
yes.
No?
Yes.
Okay. So then the next tier would be Jaden Daniels.
Herbert.
Like Justin Herbert. Like, maybe you want to put, like, Jalen Hurts there. We could have a cut. So Baker's probably in tier 3, like, okay. The tier below tier 2, I think is fair.
What about your Giants Sunday night? You know, I can't believe that so many people are making this out to be a winnable game for the Giants. Where are you thinking Giants-Chiefs?
You know, what's crazy? I thought this is actually going to be an exaggeration by me. Is it possible? It's not true. Is it possible the best player for the Giants on Sunday was Marcus Bowe, the fifth round tackle who comes in for James Hudson, who is just one of the worst series that an offensive lineman has ever had in the history, forget about the NFL, in the history of football, period. Like, 4 penalties, Dable's pulling him out. You have to read lips to see Dable get the hell out of the game. Bowe comes in and stabilizes the offensive line. And, like, Russ throws for 450 against the Cowboys. So I'm waiting right now to see, and I was actually searching on Twitter before I came on with you guys, I'd like to know, like, do we know if Andrew Thomas is going to play on Sunday?
We don't know yet.
Same song. Yeah, it sounds like he's going to be a game time call. So if he plays, he's obviously going to be the starting left tackle. Is Bowe going to get a spot on the line? I think he has to. Now, I don't know that that's going to be the case. So Dable probably will keep him on the bench. But if, like, Bowe should play right tackle or kick inside to guard, and I think the line becomes way better if that's what happens, if Thomas plays and Bowe also plays. And if that happens, the Chiefs are a 6.5-point road favorite right now. Now, I think the Chiefs are going to win the game. I don't think Kansas City's falling to 0-3. But Kansas City, and we saw this last year also, they struggle to win games by margin. They have not had the explosion this year in the pass game. Now, Xavier Worthy is likely to play. The rookie Jalen Royals is likely to play. I'm skeptical that Kansas City just rolls in and just blows anybody out at this point in time, which doesn't mean I think the Giants will win. I think the Chiefs will win. If I had to bet the game right now, I would begrudgingly back the Giants to cover, but we're operating with incomplete information right now. The one thing that I can guarantee as a Giants fan is that for all the grief Travis Kelce has taken, and he's been terrible the first 2 weeks of the season, probably the main reason, honestly, why the Chiefs are 0-2, he will get off the schneid in a big way on Sunday night against the Giants and score a touchdown, because that's what happens.
For all the grief he's taken, meanwhile, you might be the first guy in line to rip him. You've been ripping Kelce to shreds for weeks.
Yeah, I mean, well, he...
Yeah, that's funny.
He sucks.
I know, I'm just saying, there's irony here.
But does anyone, like, sense the irony of this, that he goes on, like, his podcast to say that he needs to be more focused on the game? Yeah. Does anyone see, like, the, or are we also blinded in our love for Taylor Swift that, like, no one cares that in the first game of the year, he injured his teammate because he ran the wrong route? He's not a rookie. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Injured the best wide receiver on the team. And then last week, bobbled a touchdown pass at the goal line. Maybe they win the game right into the hands of Andrew McCuba and the Eagles. But other than that, he's great.
All right, so Nick, take us inside the prop world here. We know that Mahomes has a lot of, I think he leads the NFL quarterbacks in rushing yards, I believe, 123 or one. It's a very high number. Is that because there's just nothing there vertically?
Yes.
Okay, so then is that something you want to still ride, or is that something that's going to be taken away?
Well, I think it's a great question, BT. What I would say is if the Chiefs were operating in the same circumstances that they were the first 2 weeks, I think you can make the case that Mahomes' rushing prop should be higher than it's been the first couple weeks of the season. But with Worthy and Royals likely to play in this game, it just introduces a new element of uncertainty where Mahomes could go over his rushing yards prop. I would not feel as good about it because, like, again, if it's the same thing that it's been the first 2 weeks, you could go, okay, like, no one can get open down the field, this, and they can't run the ball. This is their offense, is Mahomes scrambling, which is obviously not going to sustain over the course of a 17-game regular season. Just, you know, Worthy does add a vertical element to the offense. And maybe Jalen Royal stinks. It's possible he stinks. Maybe he doesn't even play, or maybe he's good. Like, we've never seen it. We don't know. I would stay away from it for that reason.
You know, how about the fact that, hey, you could reference the betting market or just the league in general. A lot of backup quarterbacks. We're only in week 3, Nick. These starting quarterbacks dropping like flies.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it does create, Sal, some betting opportunity, at least in one of the games, and I'll just be brief here. So Bengals-Vikings on Sunday in Minnesota. Jake Browning starts for Cincinnati, and Carson Wentz will start for Minnesota in place of the injured J.J. McCarthy. The total in this game is 42.5. I like the over. We've seen Kevin O'Connell, Vikings head coach, be a quarterback whisperer, elevate quarterbacks like Nick Mullins, great first name, not a good quarterback. Multiple 400-yard passing games. Josh Dobbs off the street to win a game a couple years ago. Carson Wentz does have natural ability, and the Bengals' defense stinks. And on the flip side, a couple years ago on a Saturday, Jake Browning started against the Brian Flores defense, Bengals-Vikings, when Joe Burrow was hurt, threw for over 300 yards. Bengals won 27-24 in overtime. I think both offenses can move the ball a little bit in this game. I'll play the over in that backup quarterback bowl with Cincy and Minnesota.
Nick, McDaniels has to be the first head coach who's going to get whacked, right? It's got to be.
I think the answer, I'm not 100% on that, but BT, I'll give you an early thought for next week, because the Dolphins next week, their next game is next Monday night. Let's at go. Home against the Jets.
Oh yeah.
In the first of the Monday Night Football doubleheader. I'll say it right now. I think the Jets get their first win of the season next Monday night.
I think they get their second.
We'll see.
Hey, listen, man, I gotta say that. I'm already down to you.
So yeah, McDaniel is certainly the odds-on favorite here. You know, if I don't know how itchy John Mara's finger is.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens on Sunday.
You don't think they fire him in season, would you?
Three games.
Well, I mean, they were the worst team in the league in year 3, and he stuck around. So I guess, like, why would they fire him now? Might as well keep him for another 3 years.
Yeah, but Nick, don't you think that this has to be tied into Dart on some level? There's like a wink and a nod. Hey, listen, draft the quarterback that you want. We'll give you a little time.
How dysfunctional
would that be?
Well, I would argue that nothing's more dysfunctional than letting a lame duck coach and general manager draft a quarterback in the first round, where if they stink, then the next regime has to deal with it. Yeah. Also, you know, for as good as Jackson Dart was in the preseason, did everyone love his NFL debut last week? Yeah, let's bring him in on a critical drive in a must-win game in week 2 and watch him fumble the ball and fall backwards and lose 5 yards when Russell Wilson's playing like a first-ballot Hall of Famer. Brilliant stuff, as always, from the crack Giants offensive coaching staff. I love it. And the defense also looks great, by the way. Great stuff from the from this vaunted pass rush that has people like thinking that this is 2007 all over again. Yeah, Abdul Carter, Dexter Lawrence is invisible. Abdul Carter's on a milk carton. Yeah, but it's awesome. Yeah, they're great. Jane Bowen, awesome.
We need to get you. I did think it was odd timing to put in Jackson Dart there. We need to get you the Danbury Mint of this Giants defense. Like, you got your linebackers there. We'll get you the Kayvon Thibodeau, Brian Burns. And-
I mean, at least the. I mean, like, you know, those guys won champion. What of these guys? Damn it, we can't even win a regular season game.
Yeah, all right, go get some lunch. We appreciate your time, as always. Looking forward to your show, for your Sunday show, Sunday morning show. It's terrific. Check it out, 8 a.m. On the Fan or on the Odyssey app. Go ahead, hit us with it.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go grab a steak. Until then, wishing everybody minimal sweats, winning bets, and the absolute very best of luck.
That was the host of You Bet or You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Kozlov. He is a trip, man. I love him. I call him Beautiful Chaos. He is, if you listen to his show Sunday morning, dude, he is all over the place. He's got these nicknames. You hear him with us. He's on fire.
I know.
Beautiful
Chaos.
I
never realized how red he got when he's making his points.
Yeah, now we get to see it on Zoom. I love it. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary for all of your betting and sports talk needs. Check out the BetMGM Network on the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.